Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got filmmaker and writer and author and chef and attorney Eddie Huang on. Very interesting guy.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
If you said Cool Hand Luke.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Eddie is going to be jumping on. Oh, there he is. Good to see you, Eddie.
How's it going? Long time no see.
I know. I'm reading here. It was January 2015, man. How you doing, Eddie?
Yeah. Good. I've aged. I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you.
I know we got the black don't crack, but the Asians need their own thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's Asian don't raisin.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
That's good. It's good. It's not as good as black don't crack, but it's
no, it's not.
It's good.
Second to the post office.
So, yes.
Oh, we do have Asian dolphin skin. You know, that is something.
It is?
Yeah. Yeah, we say that we have Asian dolphin skin.
Oh, well, that's in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't rhyme, I think.
It doesn't rhyme.
Boogie's the name of the movie. It's in theaters March 5th, written and directed by Eddie. Is this your first? I know you've written memoirs and Fresh Off the Boat and that kind of stuff. Is this your first feature in terms of writing?
Yeah, first feature I wrote, first feature I directed. Not my first time acting, but yeah, second time acting.
How did you swing that? And I don't mean that in a pejorative kind of way, but first time this and first time that in Hollywood can be difficult sometimes. People don't want to cough up the money.
No, you're totally right. I went out to sell this film, and as you know, in Hollywood, a lot of people, they were interested in the scripts, but then weren't unsure about me as a director, which made it a tougher bet. Also, the executive producer is my best friend, Rafael Martinez, who's like an old law school friend. But unless you have a credit under your belt, no one wants to give you the first chance. That's the hardest thing about the business. But we really just believed in ourselves. And the advice I would give anyone else that's first time wanting to do it is do the whole thing. Because sometimes you got agents and managers or people that will say, don't put pen to paper unless they're paying you. Unless they're totally into this, don't do the work yet. I want my client to like be sure that there's something here. I just did it. I paid a photographer friend of mine to shoot locations I wanted in the film. I had, you know, stylists help me out. Like, I did the whole thing and created like a presentation deck booklet. And when I showed it to Robert Wallach at Focus, he even told me he had no interest in buying this film originally. But when he looked at the pages in the presentation, he said, I got to do this because you know in your head exactly how you want to shoot and make this film. And that's what I'm investing in. So that's what helped me is I made a really, really detailed deck.
I think not enough can ever be said about just go out and start doing things versus trying to talk people into things they don't want to do. And it's kind of two things, I think. One is they can actually see what you want to do versus you talking to them and them not really listening. But also, it suggests that this is the kind of person that's passionate about whatever this thing is because they just went out at their own time and expense and took care of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing I did too, this seems funny, but at every phase of the film, there was a director's Wikipedia that I would just read over and over and over. And as I was selling it, there was a point I lost faith and I would just read Kevin Smith's Wikipedia over and over and look at Kevin Smith interviews because I was very inspired by how he was able to make Clerks by dropping out of film school and using that money.
I just watched the trailer, which looked very, very strong. I will watch the movie probably over the weekend. It's in theaters March 5th, but what does that mean anymore?
Well, Cuomo's opened up theaters in New York starting March 5th, so mm-hmm. It's kind of a beautiful thing. We kind of timed it well.
Imagine this will play well in New York. It's set in New York. It's very New York. Can you talk about where you found Taylor, the lead actor? He's an unknown. He has one credit, IMDb. It's this movie. I'm curious how you cast him, how you found him, how you worked with him.
I found him on my rec league basketball team. I was just shooting around in the gym one day, and he came in, and we needed an extra guy. And I saw this kid in warm-ups, and I'm 39, but I still start on my team. But I saw him and I was like, yo, you're like 26 years old. You're pretty good at basketball. Take my spot in the starting lineup. And he was like, no, like the team's winning with you. I'm just here as an alternate. Like, no, that would be not cool. And I said, no, start. And being very Asian, it became two guys just like bowing. No, you please. No, sir, you.
Deferring.
Deferring. And he just would not start. And I said, that's a nice guy. And then I found out after a couple weeks playing with him, he was a yakitori cook. He cooked at a yakitori restaurant. I said, would you like to cook the Crazy Rich Asians DVD premiere release with me? And he said, I'd love to. I never got to do anything like that. So he cooked with me. Christmas, we cooked another event. My mom was there. My mom met him and said, hey, Eddie, do you notice every time you tell him how to do something, he does it exactly how you told him. Hmm. And he shows you a sample and then – and then does it very diligently all the way through. She said, you should hang on to him. He's a very good guy. He looks up to you, and he really feels like there's something to learn from you. I said, all right. So for Christmas, I called him, and I said, would you like to be in the entertainment business? And he started laughing. He goes, what do you mean? And then I started laughing because I felt like some attorney on the other line, like, would you like to be in the business, kid? You know? And he said to me, I have no idea what that means, but – I would love to do anything or something else besides what I'm doing. So he became my assistant. And in the back of my mind the whole time, I knew that it would be very tough to cast this role because the pool of Asian American male actors, it's just shallow. We're not encouraged to act. We're not encouraged to participate in the arts. And it takes many years for things to catch up. So when you need 18 to 26 year old Asian American male that can also play basketball, I just knew that actor was probably non-existent.
And basketball convincingly too. I mean, like you can't have someone, you can't cut around that.
Exactly. He's the all time leading scorer at Alameda High School. And even that, I was like, yeah. And I was like, forget acting. There's just very few Asian basketball players at this level, at this age. So I never told the studio because they already were nervous about making an Asian American male coming of age teen basketball film. They're like, this is psychotic. Mm-hmm. I just kept telling them, no, there's stars we can cast. And I'd like point out other Asian celebrity male actors. Oh, this guy or that guy. No intention of casting any of them. Mm-hmm. In the back of my mind, I was like, I think it's going to be Taylor. So, you know, we had to go through the casting process to show them that we were going to do it the right way. We ended up trying somebody out, and it was very quick to see he could not play basketball. He could not play the role. And one day we walked into the office during pre-pro and Taylor was carrying a backpack with all our stuff. And I said, hey, you're not my assistant today. Take my office. I'm going to put you on tape in 3 hours. And he was like, what are you fucking talking about? And I was like, you've been ready for this. You've seen everybody audition. You know the script inside out. You know the scenes. Just fucking do it. And he's like, you can't spring this on me. This is not fair. This is not a good work environment. He was like thinking about
hostile.
Hostile. He's like, this is a hostile work environment. It's like, I'm going to call HR. And I was like, dude, you knew I was going to ask you this at some point. Like, I joked about it. And he's like, I knew you were going to do this to me, but not today. And I was like, well, if you knew, it could be any day. You should have been prepared for today. You're going to be on tape in 3 hours. I taped them. I sent it to the casting director. They were like, thank God you did this because we've been watching him on the side. Like, why isn't he on tape? And then we sent it to Focus and they saw it immediately. Everybody just knew it was him.
It's like the Arlie Ermey Full Metal Jacket story almost.
That story?
Well, it was funny because I was talking about it because I did a podcast yesterday, Dave Rubin's podcast, and he's like, are you going to run for governor of California? And I said, no. But then I sort of realized I'm the one standing around going, here's what you need to do, and here's what we should be doing, and here's how to do it. And then eventually, like Arlie Ermey, who I guess was kind of he was the advisor. He was like the technical advisor, and I guess he was telling the actor who was supposed to be playing the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket, no, don't do it like that. Do it like this, you know? You know, and eventually, after saying, do it like this, I guess the director was...
Stanley Kubrick.
Kubrick just went, well, why don't we just have the guy who knows how to do it? Why do we need the guy teaching the other guy to do it?
Genius. And, yeah.
And, but that's why
the basketball coach.
That's why it's such a great role. Like,
it launched an iconic career. Like, that was him. It put him on the path to stardom.
What is yakitori cooking? I want to circle back to that.
Yakitori is like yakitori. You put meat on a skewer. It's just basically you're barbecuing skewers over a flame.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
God.
Tasty meat.
Yeah. Nice. What's your specialty, Eddie?
I mean, I'm known for making the bowels, but my specialty, yeah, I make really good lion's head meatballs, which is like a braised Chinese meatball dish. I do that quite well. I can really barbecue. Growing up in like Florida, I was in trouble and just at home a lot and couldn't leave. So I just started practicing smoking ribs, smoking brisket, things like that. So I really make great barbecue and jerk chicken.
It's so funny. It's like the Asian version of he's out of school, he's on the streets, he's running with the gangs, except for you're smoking meats.
Yeah. He's smoking, you know, no.
Yeah, I was on probation for 3 years and I got tested all the time. So my parents were just, you're not leaving the house. And I got a smoker and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to experiment with this.
You're on probation for what?
There was a fight. I got jumped by like 16 dudes and then I drove a car through the crowd and bumped one of them and then tried to escape the cops. So that.
Wow.
That'll do it.
We got to.
But it was self-defense, you know, self-defense. So I never did jail time. I just did probation.
Let's drill down on that story just a little bit. First off.
This has been in Fresh Off the. It's been in a book, so it's not a. You know.
You couldn't handle 16 dudes without having to wuss out and get in the car?
No, I wasn't going to fight 16 dudes. One of them had a tire iron and you went to hit my friend. Basically, the guy was about to hit my friend with a tire iron, so I drove the car at him.
Now, were these high school guys, rival groups? Like, how did this work?
College kids. Me and my buddies were the ones. We were just selling. We were just your college drug dealers, weed, pills, whatever. And then we were not part of these fraternities. We would just go and sell stuff. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really like it because we were kind of like townies. We were like from Orlando. You know? And I was a student at the college, but none of my friends were. So they just didn't like that they had to buy from people that weren't like the college kids there. And we would fuck with them a little bit. So it's a little like that scene in Good Will Hunting, like how you like these apples, you know? So just, but they had a lot more dudes. It was 16 on three of us. So I had to use the Mitsubishi Montero.
So I had a trooper. I had a Zuzu. I had a trooper.
Model.
Yeah.
Would be equally effective. A little taller, that vehicle.
Yeah, good for running
harder
over
edges.
Good for running over frat guys. That's funny. I had a friend of mine get in a fight with another guy on PCH, and my friend beat the guy up, and the guy got into his car, and he ran over my friend.
Oh, my God.
But he didn't get into trouble. Yeah,
that's
I know.
Unfair. You know, also for the record, the guy that got bumped, you know, he didn't even have to go to the hospital. He was okay.
Oh, my friend had internal bleeding and spent like 2 weeks in the hospital, and they still never went after the guy. So you got put on probation, and that meant you had to kind of stay at home?
Yeah, I could. I went to school, but I, you know, my PO would surprise me and just show up at my parents' house and be like, "Hey, where you at?" And so after a couple times of like, "Where you at?" and missing an appointment, she just told me, she's like, "Look, you're a good kid. I know you go to school. This isn't your life. Like, just follow the rules. You'll be okay. You'll make it out of here. You may even get your time decreased." So I just listened to her. She was a really good PO. To be honest, I really enjoyed that PO. She was cool.
And then while at home, that's when the love affair with the meats and smoking meats and barbecue began?
Yeah. And I would just, I had a canoe. I would go fish. I would smoke meat. I'd go to school and read. That was it, you know.
And when did you come out? Where'd you go? Then did you come out to L.A. from there?
I went to New York.
Oh, New York.
You know, I was in Orlando at the time. And then I went to New York and that's where I really became a man and felt like I could be me. You know, in Orlando, it was a very, very kind of like monolithic culture. It's Florida. So, you know, different type of different weird.
And what'd you work doing when you went to New York?
I went up there for law school. And then in law school, I started selling T-shirts. And I first do you remember when Sean Green got traded from the Dodgers to the Mets? Yeah.
Well,
he got traded the weekend of Yom Kippur.
The only thing about Sean Green I remember is I was sitting in the lobby of the studio I'm in right now, and some 40-year-old guy in shorts and flip-flops and a T-shirt comes walking down the hall next to Dr. Drew, and Dr. Drew goes, "Hey, Adam, you remember this guy, right?" And I go, "No. Sorry, whoever you are, but this is uncomfortable, but no, I do not remember you." And Drew's like, "It's Sean Green." And I'm like, "The Dodgers first baseman from 19 years ago?
Who this wasn't on the tip of your tongue?
Never met? We met him during the, remember we did the Celebrity All-Star Game in 99, and he came out and said hi?" I was like, "Yeah, he was in a Dodgers uniform, Drew." Okay,
shit,
you don't remember.
It has actually been 16 years since he was a Dodgers first baseman. 16 years. He got traded in 05. But
oh, did he?
He went to New York, and then me and my buddy, you know, because we were at a yeshiva school. I went to a yeshiva law school, and me and my friend were like, "These will
make
Yom Clipper Kipper t-shirts." So we made Yom Kipper Clipper t-shirts.
Wait, I'm sorry. Before we go any further, being a Jew who did not attend yeshiva school, can we please talk about that for a second?
Yeah, it was funny. Well, because it keeps going back to the chart. I had good grades. I did well on the LSAT, but I had a charge. I had to check I was a felon. And every school I applied to was like, "Oh, geez." You know, like I kept not being able to get in to a school that I probably deserved to get in because of behavior.
Right.
So it was like I was getting into Seton Hall and stuff like that. But there's one school, Cardozo Yeshiva, which is a top 25 law school, where it's a little easier to get in because most people don't want to go to the yeshiva school.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is prime real estate. It's in the East Village on 12th and 5th. I mean, seems nice to me. I visited. I loved the school. I loved the people. So I attended Yeshiva U.
When it came to attending a yeshiva school, were you required or encouraged to do things that Orthodox Jews do?
Yeah.
I mean, what was it like?
I mean, I ate a lot of kosher pizza, like a whole lot of kosher pizza.
So cheeseless pizza or pizza with no meat on it?
Yeah. And it was funny. Obviously, like the first day I was there, this kid named Andy saw me like eating alone in the lounge. And he goes, "Hey, you know," and he befriended me. And, you know, we became kind of friends. And then about 5 minutes into being friends, he's like, "So I got to ask, Israel or Palestine?" And I was like, "Right."
Wow. Eddie just seized up there for a second.
Yeah, he was really fired up.
I don't know
if it's a physical thing or a technical thing, but yeah.
And it's crazy.
Sean Green was one of the few Jews in the league.
I do know the story. Who wouldn't play on high holidays, right?
Some version of that. Yeah, it sounds familiar. So that's where you get the Yeshiva Sean Green connection. All right, Eddie, we're going to reboot Eddie. What I think we should do is just take a break and then come back and do the news, and we'll hopefully get Eddie hooked up with us right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So we've talked about Tiger. We've talked about Tin Horn Flats. Let's move on to another court case. Bruce Springsteen. He did plead guilty in his virtual hearing in Newark, New Jersey, for consuming alcohol in a closed area. But the charges of the DWI and reckless driving were dismissed. This all stems from the arrest last November in Gateway National Recreation Area in New Jersey, when Bruce was offered a tequila shot from a fan who recognized him on a motorcycle, and he took it because he's a cool guy. He's agreed to paying a fine of around $500. Forget the whole thing. And remember, this news of his arrest broke earlier this month after the big Jeep commercial for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And Jeep immediately pulled the spot off social media while this court case was pending.
This is a nothing burger. And I think yes. This is kind of the problem with the new world order we're living in, which is if you ask somebody 3 years from now, they'll just go, yeah, Bruce Springsteen, he got that DUI.
Right.
Back then, like the real story of some fan wanting to take a picture and offering him a shot of tequila on his motorcycle. And it's like, this is a zero burger. Right.
He blew a .02. Like, how could they have ever given him a ticket or anything for DWI?
There is a problem with the law, which is here's this thing we decided and we're moving forward.
Right.
And much like Tin Horn Flats or the mayor of Oakland who found the hoops hanging in the parks. Like, well, we found this thing and now we're moving forward. And then you go, yeah, but it's not what you thought it was. And they go, oh, yeah, we're still moving forward.
Anyway.
I obviously can't speak for the law in New Jersey, but I know there's laws in California where if you have an open container in your vehicle or if you are in the back seat of your truck or car or whatever and you have alcohol, that is against the law. There's some law against that, like consuming alcohol on the grounds of your vehicle. So I assume that Bruce, while on the motorcycle, had the shot of tequila. That is most likely illegal by the letter of the law.
Literally, with his feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Standing, but straddling his motorcycle with a shot is what you're saying.
I remember, like, I don't know, I guess they're like driver's education or something, you know, all the teenagers always
ask you're right.
The cop, like, you know, the hypothetical, what if you did this or what if you did that?
Or one trunk. Was
like, yeah, what if you're drunk but you just decide to like sleep in the back of your car and you put the keys somewhere else? Like, now you're in your car drunk. And I was like, wow, that's technically illegal.
You could be onto something if the cop saw him literally like, hey, guys, yeah, OK. And literally just sort of straddling his bike, hanging out. And that's where he took the shot. I don't know. The guy's a dick. So he paid about $500 and, you know, it's all behind us now. But in
I'm going to do that thing that I hate when people do. That's nothing to him. That's nothing.
He's laughing all the way to the bank.
That's like you paying $5. Gina. Like,
oh, yeah, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah, $5
to
is nothing.
Him.
Oh, yeah.
That's nothing.
To you or me, a lot.
That's 500. That's a lot of money.
Well, that's like you paying 5 cents.
It's like a week's work for a lot of people.
That's like someone paying you $5. It's not. He's so rich. $500 is nothing to him. It's nothing to him.
So $500 to him is like somebody paying me?
To him.
To him. Wow.
Yeah, be like someone paying you $5.
That's how wealthy he is.
It's nothing to him.
Well, given he
can afford that. He can afford that.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Because it's nothing. $500 to him.
Nothing.
Is like nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a cup of coffee.
He's not going to be losing sleep at night when he's trying to sleep. Yeah, I'm Bruce Springsteen. I'm going to lay on bed and I'm going to count sheep because I'm out $500.
Not him.
He's not him. It's nothing to him. That's like you buying a ham sandwich.
Oh,
that $500 for him.
$4.
He's not going to be you $500. Like, okay, that's something else. But for him, he's not going to lose any sleep. You know, what's he going to do? Miss a payment on his house? It's not going to affect his life.
Yeah, he's going to be just fine.
The $500 to him is like nothing. You go, oh, honey, we can't go on vacation this year because I had to pay the sum of $500. He's not saying that. He's not going to say that.
No.
The idea that Bruce is making payments on his house.
And you know what? If he did say it, no one would believe him.
No, they think he was joking.
But he's not going to say that. You think he's like sitting around, like wringing his hands, like, oh boy, I'm out of $500. That's nothing to him. Listen, he could afford that.
Wouldn't even notice.
That's like that's a day's work.
Yeah, you can find that in the couch cushions.
Do that, that's like a half a concert or something. I mean, it's not even I'm forgetting about half a concert. It's probably like four songs.
I'm back.
Nothing. Oh, Eddie.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, guys.
Eddie, thank you.
I thought you had to come back.
My power went out.
I was doing a bit that wouldn't end, so I'm glad you came back. There was no end to it.
I'm sorry. The power keeps going out on my block this week.
Oh, really? What's going on? There's no rolling blackouts or whatever. You're in LA,
right? I'm in mid-city.
Huh? I knew it. That's because when I used to live there, that used to happen all the time. And they said, though I have not confirmed it, but the word on the street was there's so many people there with electric vehicles and they've never updated the grid for the charging station that Mid-City and Mid-Wilshire is effed in the A because they won't update the grid. So that could be
it. That makes sense because my neighbor's got Tesla. So
there you go.
Blame him or her.
Well, did you know that Bruce Springsteen doesn't roll over in bed for $500? It's a continuation of a joke that wouldn't end. All right, Gina, what else do we have for news?
Well, speaking of Bruce Springsteen, he and Obama are teaming up to do a podcast called Renegades, Born in the USA. And it'll feature them chatting it up about issues, politics, the state of America, fatherhood, manhood. And they met at a presidential campaign thing in 2008. In 2016, Obama presented him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And now they're BFF, and they're going to do 8 episodes together.
I would predict nothing will be said, but in the most interesting tones and ways.
Compelling.
It'll be a super compelling zero burger. I find nothing insightful from either one of them, but they know how to say it.
Yeah, you'll be riveted.
Right. So it's kind of interesting. They're guys that are you're sort of Jordan Petersons of the world who have all sorts of crazy, interesting things to say in a super unattractive
monotone
delivery system.
Yeah.
And then this will be a little experiment of nothing to say, but the best way to say it.
You'll be riveted for the entire hour and not find one soundbite.
Yeah, I think so, but we should listen.
Find out.
We should find out. Yes.
So I know this sounds like we just did this story, but unfortunately there's another one. Another planned gender reveal party turned deadly in New York. 28-year-old dad-to-be Christopher Peckney was building a device in his Liberty, New York home that was intended to explode in pink smoke at his gender reveal party. The device unexpectedly detonated and killed him. His 27-year-old brother was standing nearby. He got shrapnel. He was treated at the hospital. And we just keep having this story.
Well, we have a leader in the clubhouse for definitely not a Jew.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm going to put this one on the wives. I'm going to say if you wander into the garage a couple weeks before you're due to give birth and your husband is working on a trebuchet and he explains, I'd like to take either a blue cannonball or a pink cannonball and launch it. You got to jump at that point. You jump in.
Yeah.
You go, I'm the one who's pregnant here.
Your father to be.
Your father to be. Put the tools down. Head back up to the house. We cannot have this nonsense.
If you're the wife, I can't imagine. I truly can't imagine what she's going through. And to tell people that you lost your husband in a gender reveal accident.
To tell the kid.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And also, whether the kid's a boy or a girl, they have to blame themselves. I mean, let's be honest. The whole reason we're talking about this is because you were born.
Real internalization.
Yeah, survivor's guilt. It's terrible.
Have any of you guys had gender reveal parties?
No. Well, me, because I've never had a baby. But I've never attended one. No.
No. Yeah, Brian has.
Well, no, I'm there. Well, let's throw this out to Eddie. Eddie, you weigh in on this. So the wife and I are pregnant.
Or better yet, gay in on it because it's right. So gay.
The wife was pregnant 4.5 years ago, and we wanted to be surprised by the gender. And so we had the doctor put it in an envelope sealed, unbeknownst to us. We took it to an ice cream shop, frozen yogurt or whatever, and we handed it to the clerk and said, you know what? We don't know what's in here. It's going to say boy or girl. If it's a girl, make us a froyo with strawberries at the bottom. And if it's a boy, make us one with blueberries at the bottom. And we will be surprised. And we had our own little private moment, not a party, obviously. Didn't involve anyone else against their will. And we are delighted and surprised when we pulled out a strawberry.
But, Brian, who's the joke on? You go through all that work and you still end up with a girl?
I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. That was
well, I'm saying, charming. Who's the joke on that?
Yeah, I guess if I really think about
Eddie
it.
Eddie understands me culturally.
Well, I have a funny situation. Is my parents were told I was going to be a girl, and then I came out with a dick, and my dad was like, I won the championship. And then they were all surprised. So you can also just wait till you pop out and there's a review.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, but you got
to. Brian's story is cute, and it's. I'm jealous because anytime there's a calorie burn for no reason, right. But I file this under you and your goofy socks. I'm really just jealous that you take the time.
See what I'm wearing today?
Not actually.
What
no.
are you featuring?
This wasn't an invitation for. Okay. What socks? Your Argyle? What is
Argyle?
That?
Oh, they're kind of a fun, like Saved by the Bell ish '90s kind of. Stripes and dots.
I will file this under the couples who sit on the same side of the booth when they go out to eat. I talk a lot of shit, but I'm actually jealous.
Brian, are you wearing tied shoelaces, shoes in your own home?
I'm sorry, what? Yes, I am. I dress like a goddamn man.
Wow.
With funny socks.
So... no, the story's fine. I'm just jealous. But the exploding stuff, I mean... What is going on? I mean, what are they using for the propellant and like
fertilizer?
And you're talking about shrapnel. I mean, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, this definitely seems to be taken over by men. You know, I think the woman who invented it was just the inside color of a cake. And I don't know, you know, no women has, you know, said, I would imagine said, no, it has to explode or it doesn't count. So this
that's for social media. That's to right. be filmed from you know, right. 25 feet away, so you can put it on your shit.
Kind of makes you wonder. Like, you think there's going to be PSAs 15 years
yes.
from now? Like, you see all those PSAs. You watch the evening news, and they have all those veterans who lost mm-hmm. their limbs, and they yeah. go, "June 22nd, I was with my." I was with my battalion when I stepped on a, and then they show you how the house has been modified and how yeah. then Mark Wahlberg comes on there and tells a story about raising money and all
Gary
that kind
Sinise,
of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Wonder if we'll have to do that with gender reveal parties. Like guys
yes.
will be standing there missing a limb. My daughter's 13 now. At the time I lost my limb, she was 3 weeks away from being born. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Do you guys remember?
Did they film it? Did they film the explosion?
Well, no, he was still working on it.
He was still working on it.
Okay. Do you guys remember from the 80s the kid who is climbing all the trees and he goes, I've been climbing trees all my life, but never one's near overhead lines because if you touch a line or your weight makes a branch touch a line, that electricity will go right through you and that can hurt. It may even kill you. Nobody else?
No.
No.
I mean, it's like this must have just played in the Midwest because everybody knows word for word. Everyone knows that commercial, that PSA.
Yeah.
I've just seen the one where they fry an egg and say it's your brain on drugs.
Right. A very popular one.
That's somebody famous. That she went on to be an actress.
Courtney Cox? Am I back to Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, that's Bruce Springsteen. This is younger.
It was Rachel Lee Cook.
Rachel Lee Cook. Yeah.
Rachel Lee Cook.
Wait, but there was like an old mustachioed guy with the This Is Your Brain on Drugs.
No, that was a girl. That was a young girl.
Yeah, there's two. They probably did a few.
Sorry. She's the one that goes, and this is your brain on this, and she's smashing up the room. There was like a sequel.
I don't remember that one. I see.
I literally started saying to my son, here's how you know how bad these sayings are. I said to my son two nights ago, I was like, hey, you say nope to dope and ugh to drugs. And he's like, okay, retarded old man. Shut up. Like, it sounds so bad now. Like, it doesn't even mean anything.
Yeah, there's no hope with dope.
Yeah.
I learned it from watching you.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was a good one. Cuomo, man. The other Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, really turning up the heat on him right now. A former aide, and we talked about this a while back, but she has now written an article for Medium that details a lot of the experience. She's accusing him of sexually harassing her, including unwanted kissing and touching, says his top female staffers normalize this behavior. Lindsay Boylan, the former deputy secretary.
I know we hear a lot about this. How, and I'm asking because I want to know. How does one pull off unwanted kissing? How does that work? You know what I mean?
I think he just planted one on her in his office.
But here's the thing about kissing. It's not a kind of thing where, you know, if it's a kind of thing where you're in high school and it's a Pretty in Pink type situation. No, not Pretty in Pink. Sweet 16. What was the 16 Candles. Like if it's a 16 Candles kind of situation and it's like there goes the captain of the girls volleyball team and cheerleading squad, the 6 foot tall blonde that
Carolyn
would never
Mumford.
Yeah, never look at me twice. Pass the hat. I bet $40 I could kiss her. And then you run up down the hall and you kiss her, and then she goes, ugh, get away. Ugh, it's not Brian, and gets away from you. And then you collect your money. But if you're just trying to kind of force it on a colleague and they're not going for it.
That's the way you get.
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel erotic to me, you know?
Well, but this is a guy, you know, like a lot of politicians, you know, you think of Clinton, you think of Trump, whatever. It doesn't know, you know, political line that just have that headspace of like, I deserve this. Everybody wants me. I'm the man in charge. And this is what you get.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt. It's also, like I said, every time one of these things comes up, they go, he was harassing her, he was following her around, he was making a lot of sexually suggestive comments, he wanted her to come back to his condo, and then you show a picture of the chick, and then all the guys go, I could see that. That's how we work.
She is a handsome woman. I'll give her that. She's a nice-looking woman. He allegedly suggested they play strip poker. On a flight in 2017, she said in another incident, this time in Cuomo's office, he kissed her on the lips. Boylan accused the governor of harassment last year, but didn't elaborate on the experience then. Now she wrote this article. Cuomo's office did not respond to Fox News, numerous requests for comment, but a spokesperson did say there's simply no truth to these claims.
Is he going to have to give his Emmy back? He got an Emmy, and he's been getting in a world of shit ever since then. I don't know if he's physically received it, but we are living in a world where we do take your shit back now. Like, we got to take your honorary doctorate or your Heisman or your statue or whatever. We are taking things back these days. Yeah. He got the Emmy when he was beloved, and now he's got he's got the nursing home scandal, and now the Me Too thing. Like, we may need that Emmy back.
Yeah, and she even says the women in the office were all very complicit and like normalizing the behavior. Like, one of the women sent her a picture of Cuomo's ex-girlfriend. It was like, you look like her, but the hotter version, or, you know, you're definitely the better looking version. And so it's just kind of everybody. And now, you know, now we're all supposed to be shocked that this happens.
Eddie, do you have an Emmy?
I don't have an Emmy, unfortunately.
Well, I think you deserve Governor Cuomo's Emmy. Yeah. I don't know if you deserve your own.
Timeshare situation.
Any Emmy in a storm. I mean, it's still one more Emmy than I got. Let's see if we can start a hashtag movement, which get Eddie the Emmy. And as far as the Emmys go, it's like, hey, no skin off your nose. We're just going to take, you gave one to the wrong guy, fresh off the boat, delighted millions of people.
I'll accept the Cuomo Emmy, you know, but I totally get your joke, Adam. And, you know, I would also used to read articles and be like, oh, unwanted kissing, like mechanically, how does that happen? But I just have quite a few female friends that have told me the details of like their experiences, and none of them have gone public, but I mean, it's unconscionable the number of times women have to go through shit like this where someone becomes their friend or their mentor and they get roped in, and it's like a full 6 month, year long con. And then one day when you least expect it, dude closes the door and he's doing stuff. So
it's also got to be kind of insane as you describe it. So it's like, picture this version, picture, let's do the male version of this. Let's just say you have this powerful female. You know, it's Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. Sure. Okay. Well, let's just say I'm a young up-and-coming guy in Michigan. She like calls me into her office and she's like, Adam, you got it. Like, I like the cut of your jib. You know, like, you're good. I like the way you think. You're smart. You got fresh ideas. I could use someone like you around here. And then you just go home and you're like, oh, the governor thinks I'm a genius. And this thing, like Eddie was talking about, goes on for a while. And then at some point, I'm just standing in there and I got a ton of ideas about sanitation. And then she just grabs my balls and goes, you know how the game is played. I'd probably go along with it. I got to be honest. But it would be, I would feel like, oh, what about my ideas? That we had my whole...
It's about power. I mean, I had a drug and alcohol counselor at one point that I was mandated to see, and you know, she just stopped me after class one day and was like, hey, you know, my roommate's out of town. You know, if you want to talk more about your issues, because I had like just opened up in this drug and alcohol class. And she's like, if you like to come over, my roommate's out of town. And, you know, like I could open a bottle of wine or something. And I was like, in my head,
drug and alcohol.
Motherfucker, this is a drug and alcohol class. Are you insane? You know, and like it actually really upset me, even though like, part of me was like, I mean, I would definitely hit. She was pretty attractive, but I was still just like, yo, this is an abuse of power. You know, like I'm mandated by law to come here. I just opened up about something like that really bothered me. I'm trying to stop doing fucking drugs and alcohol. And you're going to proposition me and then tell me you're going to open a bottle of wine. This is fucking crazy. And so it's, you know, obviously even as a man, it's much easier to just be like, go fuck yourself and walk away. I can't imagine what it's like for women, but I think people, there's like that Stanford study about the prisoners. You put somebody in a position of power, they're going to do stuff like this.
What if she offered you a Heineken Zero with that? I mean, I don't want to parse it out. Maybe this is offensive, but what if she picked a near beer or Fresca or something?
Yeah, no, duels. you're not being offensive. I think you being funny, you lightening up the mood. But no, for me, it was more just that, like, you know, you open up and you don't expect that return, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't speak for women, but for me, I'll speak in my position. I think it's that, like, you open up to somebody and you thought you were in one space and then they drag you into another space.
Eddie, you're absolutely right about that. And I will remind everyone that when I was in a car accident a few years ago and
I just
want to
say this, but quickly, I do want you to finish the story, but make it long, because Brian will not be able to add to this conversation about the time a young sheriff deputy pulled up next to his car and tried to hit on him, or right. the time he had to go in for physical therapy and the young, beautiful woman. I won't be able to add to this either. So
did I talk about that?
Take all of the time you need. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll make it relatively short, but I was going to the chiropractor and I had this, the chiropractor had a massage therapist, Deep Valley. And, I'd go and it would get a little weird and he'd ask me weird questions, but whatever. He was, good massage therapist. And he kept asking me on my last massage therapy appointment, if it was my last appointment. I was like, I think so. This is all my insurance pays for or whatever. He goes, okay, so this is your last one. I was like, yeah. When he was, and it was a little like slower and more caressy. And at the end of my massage, he kissed my back.
Ooh, that is super creepy. That is mega creepy.
Yep.
And so, unless he had some like vapor rub or something smeared onto his lips, I mean, there's a medicinal version of this.
No.
The lotion in the basket.
Was he trying to do that cupping move where he puts his mouth on it and then sucks all the air out of his nose?
We're out of cups, babe. You're right. That was what it was. It was passionate.
He lipped your back.
This wasn't like your grandma, who you're meeting for lunch. I mean, and that's when people are like, why don't you say anything? I personally was shocked. I was embarrassed. I didn't know who to tell. I knew I was never coming back. And I just walked out in a daze like, what the fuck just happened? And I didn't want to tell him. I was humiliated. Plus, I didn't know who to tell.
This, like, a lot of this stuff falls under, like, that bum was beating off next to the schoolyard. It's like, I just want to get the fuck out of there. Like, I was not going to tackle him or call the cops. Like, all you want to do is get the fuck out of there.
Yes, and I did. And this was a big dude, and I'm alone in a room with no shirt on. And I'm like, okay. Thank you for your time. And then I went, a couple weeks later, I called and I told the woman who picked up the phone, and I wrote a colorful Yelp review. But otherwise, you do just want to get the fuck out of there. I was just like, it's weird how, I mean, I'm using the word just because, I am the victim in that situation. I'm certainly not the perpetrator, but how you just feel so embarrassed and gross.
I don't want to say it's your fault, Gina, but
for taking my shirt off at a chiropractor.
You show up, you get
massage.
Naked in some dude's office, number one.
Yes, that is
number two. We all know the answer when the creepy chiropractor says, is this your last time? You always go second to last, penultimate.
I was a rookie mistake on my
back.
Part.
Got one more punch. One more hole to punch in my sandwich car. So this is the second. Don't ever say last, because when they go for broke.
That's
time.
On me. It was, and it is.
You were asking for it at that point.
I was asking for
it. You should have lied to the man.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. What else?
Reminds me of one-time physical therapy.
Somebody put Brian's mouth in his foot in his mouth.
You know what it is weird, though? it's weird. I think there is something that scrambles a dude's brain, because you're like, I don't know about your physical therapist, but Cuomo, he's probably thinking, I'm a mayor. I'm the governor. Like, I'm in good shape. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe she's hot for me.
Yeah. And let me open the door to that.
And we've all had that situation when you've been dating or whatever at some point. Like, after you get intimate, or after, it's clear that you like each other and it becomes physical or something. The girl always says that story because it's always like, we worked together for 6 months and still go, I always liked you. I didn't know why you didn't even notice. You didn't even notice I liked you. And then you go, you did? And they go, remember that time they were asking like for partners on an assignment and I kept saying it'd be good. And I was like, I didn't know. And then you start walking around going, who else likes me?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe this assistant to the gubernatorial, maybe she likes me. Maybe the chick with the bad back. Like, maybe everyone likes me and I just don't know it. I didn't know she liked me and I just banged her 10 minutes ago. Like, I think I think there's a, I think, because that conversation is always had, right? Like, because inevitably you worked with or were around. I mean, if you pick up the person at a bar, that's one thing. But it's always somebody's a friend of a friend. Yeah.
You know how I met Andy, right? We worked together.
He was your chiropractor, right?
Yeah, he was my chiropractor. We worked together for years, and I was always, you know, like he'd come in and my heart would get a little aflutter, and I was with somebody and he was with somebody and he kind of felt that way, and we never talked about it. It never came up, just professional, just friends, but I always get kind of excited, you know, when I saw him. And years later, we're engaged and, you know, would like to get married at some point with the COVID and all the mishigas, but that's how we met.
Right. And at some point, you gave him the speech about, I liked you. I didn't think you liked me, but I noticed
Correct.
You. And then
yes.
he's a dude, and the dudes are like, you like? I didn't know. Oh, come on. It was obvious.
And then
like you were there.
And the guy's like, I didn't know. Well, now Andy's all full of his fucking self. He's out of the house, and he's just walking down the street passing people. Like, I bet that one likes me too. Why wouldn't they? Gina did.
I hate this story.
Well, it's again, whether it's getting naked in front of a stranger in
That's
a remote office
yeah,
or telling Andy you always liked him, yeah. you brought it on yourself.
Thank you for clearing this up. I'd been very confused.
I should speak it to corporate America. You know what I mean?
Speak of their wedding.
The Association of Chiropractic Medicine.
That's right.
Yes.
You may be staring at a hot L5, L7 vertebrae, but under no circumstances should you juicy lip it.
That's right.
Don't put her vertebrae in your mouth.
Well, before we completely get off the subject, unless you'd like me to tease it.
Go ahead.
There's another actor who's in trouble with the law again, and it's not a name we have heard in, I don't know, 20 years?
Eddie Huang.
Maybe 25 years? You'll know him when I say him, but I don't think you'd guess it. I'm just going to tell you. Gerard Depardieu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's fresh.
Whatever happened
to
him?
He gets a pass.
He gets a cultural pass.
He was in the Tiger movie, the fucking Richard Parker, the Life of Pi.
He was?
He was the chef, wasn't he?
I didn't see it. Oh. I didn't know. I thought he was just in Green Card.
Carrying
25
on.
So he had got busted now for allegedly raping a young actress 3 years ago, according to
Brian says it's okay, even funny, because he happened to be born in France.
Right. Yeah. So it's fine.
I want to walk that back.
He's 72, by the way. So he was 69 then.
Pounds.
Yeah, he was.
His rap sheet has other offenses, by the way. In 2011, he was arrested for urinating in the aisle of a plane midair because the restroom was occupied. And
Wait a minute. Who? I haven't seen. I saw a recent picture. Who is fatter, him or Russell Crowe? Because I feel like this is a
I saw
Hall
Russell Crowe went unhinged. I think he had a fake belly on. I'm going to say right now Gerard Depardieu is a little heavier.
If you find a right now Russell Crowe, I think he was playing tennis with his girlfriend. I saw on TMZ. Boy, you want to know why during those gender announcement parties, you want to know why you should hope it's a dude? Look no further than Russell Crowe and his blonde girlfriend playing tennis. And I think you'll realize we should be rooting for a Wang in that particular case, because there's quite a chasm in age and in the aesthetic department.
Got it.
Mexipanel, fine. I think it's a TMZ
story. Yeah, we're loading it up right now.
I saw. All right, let me hit Geico here before we find that picture. Do you own, do you rent your home? Will you do one or the other? How about you take your automotive policy and you bundle it up with Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing because you got so much to do already. So go to geico.com. Get a quote. See just how much you could save when you bundle at Geico. That is geico.com.
Whoa.
That's Russell Crowe?
That's Santa Claus.
Wait till you see Russell with his blonde lady friend. They're standing up and playing tennis, although I'm not sure how it can.
I take back what I said about I think he was wearing a fake belly and unhinged. That was his belly.
I think he earned that belly.
Wow.
That's Russell Crowe?
Yeah. I don't know why. It was a couple days old. It was like, it was just pictures of him playing tennis.
That's 30-foot of grunt.
With his, with his girlfriend. Let's see if Max Pata finds it.
I still might go with Gerard, unless I.
This isn't the one I'm thinking
Russell
of. But,
all right, he looks athletic here.
Yeah, there's another.
It's probably the angle, but I mean, a lot of these pictures, he looks more like John Goodman.
We got to see the side. Find the one where he looks more like what I'm talking about. That'll help. You got to catch him from the side, because from the side, I mean, that guy. But I don't know how old his girlfriend is. She's got to be like in her 30s or something. But anyway.
Well, having just watched Greenland, is Gerard Butler the new Russell Crowe in terms of look? And
yeah, I guess he could be. Now he's doing quality movies.
Because Russell Crowe is like an accomplished actor, and Gerard Butler
Let's forget Beautiful Mind. I'm just saying aesthetically. Oh, wow.
Still not the ones where they were playing tennis, but maybe that's not on the TMZ, whatever. But he's a lot of dude.
She's 30.
She's 30, and he's a big boy.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
All right. Let's see. Eddie, let's get the plug out here. Boogie's the name of the movie. It's in theaters March 5th. Maybe not if you're in Los Angeles, sadly. But if you're And you can shoot Eddie a tweet and Instagram at Eddie. I'm just going to spell it out for you. HUANG is where you would go for that, Huang. Hey, Eddie, thanks, man.
Thank you. I always love doing this show, man. A lot of fun, guys.
Appreciate it. Oklahoma City. I think I already gave plugs, or maybe I didn't. I don't know.
Tomorrow.
Oklahoma City tomorrow night and Saturday, live pod there, and stand up. Kyle Dunnigan's going to join us. Reno's coming up, Los Angeles, Waukegan, Illinois. And go to adamcarolla.com for all the live dates. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla, Freddie Huang, and Gina and Bald saying, mahalo.
Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. You'll find all the links at adamcarolla.com.